Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Narches podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Conscience of a Conservative by Barry M. Goldwater is one of the most influential political manifestos in modern American conservatism. Written at the dawn of the 1960s and closely associated with Goldwater's rise as a national figure, the book lays out a philosophy rooted in limited government, individual liberty, and constitutional restraint. Rather than presenting conservatism as a vague temperament, it frames it as a coherent set of principles with practical implications for public policy. Goldwater argues that freedom is best protected when power is decentralized, when markets are allowed to work with minimal interference, and when citizens and local communities shoulder responsibilities that an expanding federal government often claims. The book also reflects Cold War anxieties, emphasizing a strong national defense and a firm posture against totalitarianism. Whether readers approach it as a historical document or as a living argument, it provides a clear window into the ideas that helped shape later conservative movements and debates that continue today. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, freedom and the limits of government power. A central theme of Conscience of a Conservative is that individual freedom depends on limiting the reach of government. Goldwater presents government as a necessary institution with specific functions, not a general problem solver meant to manage economic outcomes or social life. He argues that when the state expands beyond core duties, it accumulates power that can erode personal choice and civic responsibility. This view is tied to constitutional structure federalism, separation of powers, and enumerated powers are treated as safeguards rather than technicalities. The conservative, in this framing, is not opposed to all government action, but insists that public authority must be justified, bounded, and accountable. Goldwater's approach also connects liberty to discipline and duty. He emphasizes that a free society requires citizens willing to accept risk, make decisions, and support local institutions such as families, neighborhoods, and voluntary associations. When national policy replaces those institutions, people may become dependent on political solutions rather than social cooperation. The result, he warns, is not only higher spending but a shift in how citizens understand their own agency. This topic sets the stage for the rest of the book, because every policy dispute becomes a question of where power should reside and how much coercion is acceptable in the name of collective goals. Secondly, the Constitution, federalism, and the proper role of Washington. Goldwater places the U.S. Constitution at the center of conservative thought, presenting it as a moral and practical framework designed to restrain power. He highlights federalism as a core mechanism, states, and localities should handle most domestic matters, while the national government focuses on limited, clearly defined responsibilities. In his view, concentrating authority in Washington weakens democratic accountability because citizens lose proximity to decision makers and because one-size-fits-all rules ignore regional differences. The book portrays constitutional limits not as obstacles to progress, but as protections against the natural tendency of governments to grow. This topic also addresses the tension between policy ambitions and constitutional process. Goldwater argues that even well-intentioned programs can become dangerous if they normalize the idea that national leaders may take any action deemed beneficial. He stresses that means matter as much as ends legality, jurisdiction, and constitutional fidelity should guide policymaking. By framing debates this way, he invites readers to evaluate proposals through institutional questions: who has the authority, what is the precedent, and how does it affect the balance between citizen, state, and federal government? The emphasis on structure helps explain why the book resonated with readers who saw mid-century politics moving toward administrative centralization, and why it remains a touchstone in arguments over states' rights, regulation, and the scope of federal agencies. Thirdly, markets work and the case against central economic planning. On economic questions, Goldwater argues that free markets are not merely efficient but essential to political liberty. He treats private property, voluntary exchange, and competition as systems that disperse power, whereas heavy regulation and centralized economic planning concentrate it. In this framing, the danger is not only waste or bureaucracy, but the creation of dependency and leverage. When livelihoods depend on political favor, citizens may become less free to dissent. The book criticizes expansive federal intervention in wages, prices, and industry, favoring a model in which enterprise and innovation flourish under predictable rules and limited government intrusion. Goldwater also ties economic freedom to personal character and social mobility. He argues that initiative, savings, and entrepreneurship thrive when people can expect to keep the rewards of their effort. Policies that aim to guarantee outcomes, he suggests, can weaken the incentives and moral habits that underpin prosperity. While readers may debate specific prescriptions, the conceptual claim is consistent: a society that relies on private decision-making is less vulnerable to authoritarian drift than one managed by administrative decree. This topic matters because it connects everyday economic policy to larger constitutional and cultural concerns. For Goldwater, economic debates are never just technical. They are tests of whether a nation trusts its citizens to direct their own lives or prefers governance through centralized management. Fourthly, national defense and Cold War moral clarity. Conscience of a conservative reflects the Cold War context in which it emerged, emphasizing a robust national defense and a firm stance against totalitarian ideologies. Goldwater presents national security as a primary responsibility of the federal government, arguing that a free society must be capable of deterring threats and responding decisively when deterrence fails. He frames the conflict not only as geopolitical rivalry, but as a clash of political and moral systems, with liberty and self-government on one side and coercive state control on the other. In this topic, Goldwater critiques what he views as complacency or strategic timidity. He advocates clarity of purpose, preparedness, and policies that recognize the seriousness of ideological confrontation. The conservative posture is portrayed as realistic about the limits of diplomacy when facing regimes that do not share liberal democratic assumptions. At the same time, this emphasis on defense is tied to his broader philosophy: government should be limited in domestic life yet strong in its legitimate functions, especially protecting the nation. For modern readers, this section offers both a historical snapshot and a lens for contemporary debates about military readiness, deterrence, alliances, and the trade-offs between security and freedom. Even if the specific global landscape has changed, the underlying question remains: how can a republic maintain safety without undermining the liberties it exists to defend? Lastly, conservatism is principle, not mere pragmatism. A defining contribution of the book is its effort to describe conservatism as a principled philosophy rather than a set of partisan instincts. Goldwater argues that political decisions should be guided by enduring ideas about human nature, freedom, and the dangers of concentrated power. He distinguishes this approach from a purely pragmatic politics that measures success only by short-term results or popularity. For him, the conservative is willing to lose elections rather than abandon foundational commitments because the ultimate goal is to preserve a free constitutional order. This topic also clarifies how Goldwater sees the relationship between the individual and society. He rejects the notion that government should engineer virtue or equalize every social condition, contending instead that moral development and community life arise through personal responsibility and voluntary association. Conservatism, as he describes it, involves respect for tradition and institutions, but it also demands vigilance against institutional drift when those structures become vehicles for expanding state control. By presenting conservatism as a coherent worldview, the book helped shape later political movements and the language used to argue about liberty, rights, and governance. Even readers who disagree may find value in confronting an internally consistent case that forces deeper reflection on first principles, constitutional limits, and what citizens should expect from their government. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want to understand the philosophical roots of modern American conservatism, including students of political history, policy professionals, civic-minded citizens, and anyone curious about how mid-century debates shape today's arguments over the size of government. It is also useful for readers who may not identify as conservative, but want to engage seriously with a clear, forceful articulation of that tradition. The benefit to a reader's life comes from the way Goldwater frames politics as a question of responsibility and power. By emphasizing constitutional boundaries, local governance, and personal agency, the book encourages readers to ask sharper questions about who should decide, what authority they have, and what unintended consequences follow when government grows. That habit of thinking can improve how people evaluate news, elections, and policy proposals, regardless of party. Compared with many similar political books, Conscience of a Conservative stands out for its directness and its role as a foundational text, rather than a reaction to a single news cycle. It offers an accessible entry point into conservative principles, explains how they connect across domestic policy, economics, and defense, and provides historical context for movements that followed. For buyers seeking a compact but influential statement of political ideology, it remains a worthwhile addition to a serious civic library. If you would like to support Barry M. Goldwater, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.